Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read from verses 6 to 10. I've entitled my sermon, Do Not Quit. Amen. Do not quit. Amen? Let's not quit. And we need to remind ourselves and we need to tell ourselves, Daniel, don't quit. David, don't quit. Ava, don't quit. Joan, don't quit. We need to tell ourselves that every day. You know, because enemy is the father of all lies. And if not careful, he will feed our minds with that many lies. It can weary us. It can burden us. And that's what we have to remind ourselves, that if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Yeah. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Everyone say Christ. Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Yeah. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all the good things with the instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to our people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen? Amen? Family of believers. You know, we have been looking at Paul's letter to Galatians for the last few weeks, and today we will be continuing on the series on the study of Galatians. Just a quick recap. On our study from the Galatians, we know that it was Paul who established the church in this place called Galatia. And after being there for a while, after establishing the church, after training some of the leaders in that place, Paul feels like, hey, you know, we've got something there. I can trust them and I can leave now and I can move on to my next journey. So Paul does that. And however, after some time, a message gets to Paul again. The church in Galatia, they're not doing so well. What was wrong was Jewish Christians were trying to pursue it. Gentile Christians to observe Jewish laws, seasons and rituals and all sorts of old traditional laws. Okay? So therefore Paul feels that it is right for him to write this letter to persuade the believers not to adopt these unnecessary practices. Okay, so to remind them that their righteousness, we have been looking at this word last few weeks as well, righteousness is not dependent on the observance of Jewish law, but upon the grace of God. Amen. So because of grace of God, made manifest through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All because of Jesus. Okay, so before we dive into this chapter 6, let's just look at some of the things in chapter 5, okay? Just a quick highlight. In chapter 5, you can read that in your own time. In chapter 5, I love this, you know, it says, it is for freedom Christ has set us free. Chapter 5, verse 1, that's my favorite verse. It is for freedom Christ has set us free, you know? Paul reminds the Christians there to embrace their freedom from the law. He encourages them, listen, it is for freedom Christ has set you free. Don't go back. See, we need to remind ourselves over and over again that it is for freedom Christ has set us free. Not to bring our old identity with us into the new future, but to leave our old baggage where it deserves to be in the past, and to put on the new garment of praise, put on the new garment of righteousness, put on the new garment of new identity, and pursue what God has for us. You are not your yesterday. And thank the Lord for that. Amen. We are not our yesterday. There is a bright future for each and every one of us. Paul reminds him that it is for freedom Christ has set them free, and not to use their freedom as a license to sin. See, Paul feels the necessity to remind the church, don't use your freedom to indulge in sin again. See, every time whenever Jesus healed people, what was the famous statement of Jesus? Go now, you are free, and sin no more. Sin no more. But the natural human tendency is we are drawn to sin. See, that's just how things are in us. And until and unless we submit our all to Jesus, submit our everything to Jesus, that tendency is going to repeat itself. It's like this habit. See, we have to implement some spiritual routines. We have to implement some spiritual habits in our lives. And until and unless we implement those spiritual habits, the change won't take place. We can pray as much as we like. We can fast as much as we like. But until and unless we are ready to bring about these spiritual strict discipline in our lives, nothing's going to change. And that discipline includes maybe cutting off some of the contacts, or cutting off some of the relationships, cutting off even some of the places that maybe is not so helpful for us in our journey with Jesus. See, and then I love this again. He lists the works of the flesh, okay? Paul talks about jealousy, envy, and everything. And I love this. He also lists the fruits of the Spirit, amen? Which is found in chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. And the fruits of the Spirit are, repeat with me, love. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, we've got that word in there, gentleness. Just hold on to that word, because we'll need this word in chapter 6, okay? Gentleness. And he calls them to walk by the Spirit and not to provoke or envy one another. Okay? Now let's go to chapter 6, okay? The passage which we just read. Verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught up in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. See, in another translation it says, brothers, if a man is caught in some fault, you who are spiritual must restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Spirit of gentleness. Okay, so what is the spirit of gentleness? You see, the Galatians had started accusing one another of all the misdoings and were becoming finger-wagging believers. Okay, they were becoming finger-wagging believers. Alright, so Paul calls the Galatians Christians to consider the process of restoration for anyone who is caught up in sin. See, it is so, so important that as a church, we consider the process of restoration. Not the process of judgment, but the process of restoring. See, that's why Paul feels this urge to write to the church in Galatia to remind them, listen, there are going to be times where you will fall. There are going to be times where you will make mistakes. But it's about how you get back up. Not only that, but it's about how you restore that person in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul says, do it. Do so in a spirit of gentleness. You see, the word for gentleness used here is Greek word protes. P-R-A-U-T-E-S. Protes. Which is often translated as meekness. So gentleness is meekness, okay? But in this context, protes is not a form of weakness. Paul's not saying when you're restoring a person, you have to restore that person in a spirit of meekness or weakness. But what Paul is saying is you have to display appropriate response to fit the circumstance. So in other words, when we put it together, gentleness actually means power under control. Power under control. In other words, it simply means gentle strength. Restore one another in spirit of gentle strength. Okay? Now listen to this. Gentle strength. Okay? Restoring one with compassion. But also restoring one in tough love. That's what gentleness means. Gentle strength. In compassion and also tough love. Compassion and tough love, they go hand in hand. See, compassion helps us to heal, but tough love helps us to understand and learn from our mistakes. Tough love is tough. Having been sat down and being told what you've done wrong is tough. Because now you're facing the reality. And can I say this, you know, most of the time you don't see the wrong in you. You always see the wrong in others. And that's why it's so important that when we consider opening up ourselves to the Lord, we need to understand that when the Lord opens us up, He reveals to us the dark parts of our lives.
Yeah.
And when we are faced with reality, and when God begins to do a process in us, the tough love is a tough process. Mm-hmm. So tough love, we open up ourselves to the Lord. And the Lord shows us compassion, but He also shows us tough love.
Yeah.
That's who God is. See, but so many times we present God as just God of compassion.
Yeah.
And He's a God of compassion.
Yeah.
But He's also God who shows tough love.
Amen.
Okay? He allows us to learn the lesson. He shows us compassion and forgiveness and love, but at the same time, sometimes I believe he lets us do our thing. He lets us hit the brick wall, hit whatever wall, then He waits so that you and me, we get to understand what we were doing was not what God wanted us to do. Tough love will guide us. Compassion will heal us. And it goes on to say, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. In other translation, it says, look into yourself so that you also aren't tempted. You see, this is so important. Just them two words. Watch yourselves. Watching ourselves. So what does this mean? The person confronting someone can be tempted in various forms. We have to be careful. We have to watch ourselves. But in this context, it's not just talking about our actions, okay? In this context, it's talking about freedom versus the law. So what Paul is trying to say is, Paul is most likely talking about the issue of judgment on this matter. Okay? Hear me carefully on this one. The issue of judgment on this matter. He's trying to say, watch yourself or you too might fall into the trap of adopting a judgmental attitude. So what was happening in the church was, rather than helping one another, rather than restoring one another, they were falling into this trap of judging one another. Oh, look at that person. Horrible. What that person's done is horrible. You know, I saw it coming. I knew that person wasn't, you know, he was just showing it off most of the time. He was just pretending. I knew deep down inside that person wasn't there. That's exactly what was happening in here. Absolutely. They were being negative towards one another. Fall into this trap of adopting a judgmental attitude. And that is the exact thing Paul's highlighting here. Watch yourself, or you too also might be tempted to think in a judgmental attitude. Okay? So, what happens when we have judgmental attitude? Firstly, a judgmental attitude makes it difficult to relate to the person. Because in your head, you're already judging that person. So, when you have judgmental attitude, your ears just get blocked. It just gets blocked. So, the person might be trying to say one thing to you, but you're more interested in saying another thing to that person, okay? Makes it difficult to relate to the person. And a judgmental attitude also makes one spiritually prideful. You see, another disease that's spreading in the church, around the church, everywhere. Spiritually prideful. I know it all. I have it all. It's just, you know, I'm too holy. I'm too clean to be amongst the sinners. I'm too clean to be spreading the gospel to the homeless, to the broken. That spiritual pride, that spiritual prideness attitude. See, when you are restoring someone, be mindful that you don't fall into the trap of being judgmental in your restoring. It's not about who we restore in the Lord. It's about how we restore them in the Lord. It's not about who we are restoring in the Lord. It's about how we are restoring them in the Lord. You see, when Paul's writing this, Paul is very brutal in his writings, but when he's writing this particular letter to the church in Galatia, he's having to wear his pastoral hat. And he's being very gentle in his approach. Because he's not only considering the things of the present, but he's considering the things of the future. Gentle strength. So every time, whenever you think of that word gentleness, think it in this way. Gentle meaning compassion. Strength meaning tough love. Gentleness. Gentleness is not just being gentle. Gentleness is showing compassion, but at the same time giving them the tough love, the truth that sets them free. Amen. Verse 2 and verse 3. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. So how can we carry each other's burdens? How can we carry each other's burdens? Firstly, by being a listener. Yeah. Amen? Inclining our ears and giving our ears to our loved ones and telling them, listen, I'm here for you. If you want to talk to me about anything, I'm here. I'm all ears. I'm here to listen to you. Being a listener. Okay, that's how we can carry each other's burdens. Secondly, how can we carry each other's burdens? By being a friend. If you're struggling, let me know. Ring me. Text me. If you need something, just let me know. I'll be there for you. Letting them know. Being there as a friend. That's how we can carry each other's burdens. And how can we carry each other's burdens? Praying for one another. So, so important. Praying for one another. It's so important that we pray for one another. So important that we learn to consider one another in our prayers. You see, egocentric people only focus on their own gain. But love-centric people focus on growing together. Amen? It's not just me growing in what God has for me. It's about us growing together as one in terms of what God has for us. Amen? That's what we're here. We are one body. We're here to grow together. Yeah. grow together in God and all that God has for us. Verse 4 and verse 5. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Okay? In simple words, what Paul is saying here is, instead of focusing on others, focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. Instead of pointing your finger at others, first see what needs to be done in you. See, our talk needs to match our walk. Okay, our talk needs to match our walk, both in public and in private. Okay, and when you get to verse 5, it says, for each one should carry their own load. I mean, that's a bit contradicting, isn't it? Because in verse 2, we are told you are to carry each other's burdens. But when we get to verse 5, it says you are to carry your own burden. Okay, but what really is happening here is this, okay? What Paul is saying is, be there for one another. You are one body. You have to grow together. And when we get to verse 5, what Paul is saying here is, don't pry on other people's affairs. Don't pry on other people's business. Focus on yourself. In other words, in English terms, mind your own business. That's what Paul's saying here. Mind your own business. But they did this, they did that, and because of them, you know, it's just I didn't go to church because they were giving me a headache. Oh, I didn't come to church because I don't like this person in church. I don't like that person in church. What Paul's saying is, listen, lay aside all your differences away, okay? Lay them aside, all your differences, and mind your own business. You are there to grow. You are there to learn. You are there to worship. Don't go to church because you want to please people. Go to church because you want to please God and worship Him. Amen? We come to church because we want to worship God. We come to church because we want to lift Him up. See, there is so much disunity spreading around. And this is all works of the enemy. And let's not fall into that trap. Let's lay aside all our differences. And let's come together as one. Because my hobbies might not match your hobbies. But what connects us is our love for Jesus. Amen. It's our love for Jesus that binds us together. I think it was David and John who put it on Messenger Group yesterday. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Let that be our prayer. Let's pray that, church, this coming year. Lord, bind us together. Bind us together so powerfully. You know, it's just like that nothing will be able to come in between. Nothing will be able to break us. Amen. Let there be such unity in the body of Christ. Verse 6 and verse 7. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with the instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows, okay? God cannot be mocked. God sees it all. God sees everything. What I do in the public, what I do in the private, God sees it all, okay? And here's the thing. Here's a tough one, okay? God does not reward us for what we do. He rewards us for why we do it. God does not reward us for what we do. He rewards us for why we do it, okay? It's the heart behind why we do what we do. God sees the heart. And Paul's given a really strong statement here. God cannot be mocked. Okay, we don't do this for the show. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. This, I'm not writing this just because I'm writing this for the sake of writing it. I'm saying this because I want you to get this, Paul's saying. A man reaps what he sows. And therefore, if you are doing good, it's good, but why are you doing it? That's the main thing that counts. Verse 8 to verse 10. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap the destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I love this. You know, about 3 years ago, this was our scripture. This was my personal scripture. Let us not become weary in doing good. And it has been my personal scripture since then. You know, I carry the scripture with me every day. Because every day I need to remind myself, let us not be weary. Dan, don't be weary. Don't let them little things get to your head. Do not be weary. If you want scripture for the year, hold on to the scripture. Do not be weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap a harvest. Because you will reap what you sow. If you sow with tears, you will reap with laughter. You will reap with joyful heart. Because God sees every tear that you've shed. Because God sees and hears every prayer you've been praying out and crying out to Him. You know, your prayers, it's not gone to waste. God has seen it. God has heard it. And I want to encourage you, the answer is on its way.
Amen.
Just do not quit. No. Don't give up. Do not quit. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we have opportunity. If you've got breath in your life today, you still have opportunity. Amen?
Yes.
If your breath is gone, then that's it, no opportunity. But as long as you have breath, and as long as you're breathing and living, we all have opportunity. We have opportunity for forgiveness. We have opportunity for freedom. We have opportunity for healing. We have opportunity to receive what God has for us. Amen. Don't ever say never. Because with God, all things are possible. You might be thinking, oh, I'm too, like, it's just, you know, my time's gone. I won't be able to do it. This is it. No, there is more. Remind yourself, don't settle for the less. Don't settle for the less. I need to keep reminding myself, Daniel, this isn't everything. There is more. Just keep pressing on. Because sometimes when you pray for stuff and when you don't get the answers, you get discouraged. But in that moment of discouragement, keep praying, keep pressing on. Because after discouragement, there is powerful answer waiting for you on the other side. It's just we have to keep pressing on. We just have to keep pressing on. You see, Paul promises that if we do good in his writing, he's promising this. He's guaranteeing this. Okay, because he knows it to be true because it has happened in his own life. And that's why I said at the beginning of my sermon, I said, because once you know it for yourself and once you know it to be true, it doesn't matter what other people say to you because you know it's true.
Yeah.
Now, thousands may try and whisper in my ears, God is not real. I'm not going to believe them because I've experienced it for myself. I know God is real. I don't need other people's validation or other people's facts to prove to me that God is real or not. I know God is real because I've heard Him, I've felt Him, I've seen Him, amen?
Amen.
In the Spirit.
Yes.
I've seen Him move in people's lives.
Amen.
I've seen Him move powerfully. I've seen healing take place there and then, on the streets, everywhere. God is real.
Yes.
Amen. God is real and He is moving powerfully. And if we do good, if we continue to do what God has put for us, and if we continue to run with His vision that He has given us, church, believe me, we will reap a great harvest. We will reap a great harvest. Just do not quit. If you're thinking about throwing down the towels, don't do it. If the enemy has been whispering in your ears, don't listen to him. Don't give him the keys to your heart. Don't give him the keys to your family. Don't give him the keys to your world. Because he is a liar. He will promise you one thing and he will give you the other. Whereas Jesus, he will promise you one thing and he will give you even better and better and better. Amen? That's our God. See, Jesus will only add to our lives. Not only that, but he will multiply. And the only thing he subtracts is all the badness from our lives. He's a God of addition. He's a God of multiplication. Amen. But Satan, he's a divider. He's a subtractor. Subtracting you from fellowship. Subtracting you from what God has for you. You know, and just recently I've been sort of like stumbling across lots of different articles. And for some weird reasons, it's, it's, it's kind of like keeps coming up on Facebook and on internet. And I think it's all because of the pressure and everything that people and the churches and the ministers are facing, okay? And I happen to be recently reading an article on the numbers of ministers who leave the ministry every year. Okay, every year. Numbers of ministers are being added, but as the same, the numbers of ministers are leaving the ministry. You know, and the number who would like to leave but feel trapped. Okay, and the numbers are high because the pressures on ministers are intense. And they often find it difficult to see that they have accomplished anything. Lies from the enemy. Lies from the enemy. See, the enemy will make you believe that you've not accomplished anything. And that's exactly what's happened to these ministers. And it can happen to any one of us. The enemy, he's a king of lies. He's a liar. That's who he is. He just lies. He steals. He robs. He's a cheater. That's all he does. He breaks families. He breaks relationships. You know, if there's one thing that you want to hate, is hate sin. Yeah. But most importantly, hate the devil. Yeah. The enemy. I hate him. I absolutely hate him. When I see our lives being just tortured and just, you know, young people tortured. They can't sleep. They can't go to bed at night. They lay in bed and all the lies just get fed in their minds. It's the enemy. The social media, one lies after another, feeding the young mass generations, feeding them lies. Church, you and me, we have to pray for our generation. You might say, oh, you know, our generation was different. If you are living today, this is our generation. Okay, young, old, what? Doesn't matter. This is our generation. And we have to take ownership of our generation. We have to do something in this generation. We have to stand up for the gospel. We have to stand up for the truth. We have to keep pressing on. Let us not be weary in doing good. Because in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, reading this just broke my heart. It broke my heart seeing all these ministers just, you know, just leaving one after another. It broke my heart and I said to God, God, give me the strength to carry on. Give me the strength to press on. And I was praying for my leaders. Give our leaders the strength to carry on, to press on. Because we don't want to be another statistics. We want to be legacy leavers in this area. Amen. We want people's lives being impacted, transformed, changed. You know, everything within you might be crying, I give up, what's the point? Nobody appreciates you anyway. Nobody cares about you. You were never part of it. But I want to say to you, stay strong. Hold on to the truth. It's time to say to the devil, listen devil, I've had enough. Enough of your lies, I've had enough. See, we have to be brutal to the devil. We just have to say, listen, I've had enough, this is it. I'm not taking it no more. I'm standing up for the truth.
Amen.
And that's what Paul is saying to the church here. Listen, church, do not quit.
No.
Do not quit. Do not be weary in doing good. Do not quit. You have the opportunity. You still have the opportunity. So therefore, do good to our people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You still have the opportunity, Paul's writing to the church. And that same message is for us today.
Yes.
Harvestville Church. We have the opportunity. Let's seize the opportunity. Let's grab the opportunity. Let's run with this baton that God has given us. Let's run with it.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's run with it. If you are breathing, if you are living today, if you can feel that's you, you have the call of God upon your life today. You see, if God gives you the opportunity, grab it and run with it. Don't wait for the other man to grab the opportunity because that other man might never turn up. This is your opportunity.
Amen.
This is my option. We have to stand up. We have to receive this. We have to stand up. We have to run with it. You know, this morning I had to say to myself, because, you know, it's just, it can happen to any one of us. One day we might feel great. Next day we'll be like, oh, I don't feel like it. But it doesn't matter if I feel like it or you don't feel like it. See, now I'm just like, I don't even know what feelings is. It's just, even I don't feel like it's just like, no. You know? And here's another thing, all right? We talk about free will and that. If you are really, really, if you are really committed to God, what is free will? His will. I have no free will. God tells me to do it, I just have to do it. There is no free will. And same with Andrew. We've spoken about this, you know. It's just, what is free will for us? Even if we don't feel like it, there is no free will for us. You know, and let that be us, each and every one of us, church. Let His will be our will, honestly. And it's just, there is so much that God is about to do. You know, I just get emotional thinking about it. I look at you guys and I'm like, wow. You know, God has done great things in your life. And God's not closed the cap. The cap is still open. Because the overflow is still taking place. And it's still about to take place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you guys.